City of Cuna, regular city council meeting, May 7th, 2013.
Joe's here, so it's 7:00, and we'll call the meeting to order. I want to welcome you all, and would you pull the council, please?
Councilmember Hoyland.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhart.
Here.
Councilmember Steer.
Here.
Mayor Nelson.
Here. Thank you. And Karen Hernandez, the pastor of the United Methodist Church, would you give us the invocation, please?
I would be happy to.
Let us pray. Creator God, we give you thanks for a gorgeous day, for a beautiful season of new life, and for a community garden that is starting to grow. Remind us, God, that the earth is fruitful because of your hand. We give you thanks for sunshine and warmth and water, and pray that you would help us to remember that all that you create is indeed very good, especially your children, God. As that garden grows, as crops grow, help us to grow together, to become more unified as a community, to become more faithful children of yours. May your will be done, God, through our lives and this town. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
Thank you.
Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for mentioning the community garden. We've just put a whole lot of work into that. Well, there's a lot of people involved, and it's kind of fun. Okay, first item of business is the consent agenda. Are there any additions, corrections, or questions on the consent agenda? If none, we entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Move we approve the consent agenda?
Second.
And move in second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. Next item of business is the Ada County Prosecutorial Services Report. Brian Noggle.
Thank you, Mayor. Council members. I just wanted to stop by and touch base. Before we get into talking about the budget and kind of give you a heads up of a little bit of what's been going on and mostly be available to address any concerns, if there are any, with the prosecutorial services that we've been providing over the last year. It's been an eventful year for us at the prosecutor's office in the misdemeanor division. We've had some fairly notable misdemeanors out of Cuna. We had a 3-day trial, which in the misdemeanor world is a fairly significant trial here a few months back on a vehicular manslaughter that happened out on King and Swan Falls Road. It was a bad traffic crash that happened, and a man lost his life. The defendant, a man by the name of Brian Mulheron, ended up going to trial on that charge of misdemeanor vehicular manslaughter. We were able to obtain a conviction after that 3-day trial. That was one of the more prominent trials that we had over the course of the last year, and the attorneys that worked on that worked very hard, did a very good job. We were able to obtain restitution for the victim and the victims in that case, and see that case to a close. Mr. Mulheron is still on probation for that crime. We continue dealing over the course of the last year. We had significant dealing. I know Mr. Rose is aware, but of with Mr. Terrell, the taxi cab driver here in town that was having trouble getting the proper licenses for running a taxi cab business. We were able to get a conviction in that case, which I think allowed the city to suspend his license for a number of years. so that he can better understand.
Excuse me for just a minute. Can you hear him in the audience okay? All right, okay.
Let me hear me. I can speak up. Let me speak up a little bit. Okay.
Sorry, thank you.
No, that's okay. I appreciate you letting me know. We've had, over the course of the last 7 months, we've had a number of DUI, domestic violence cases that we've handled. These are some of the more serious cases that have come through our office. We've had over 20 DUIs, about a dozen domestic violence cases. Most of those are in our domestic violence court, which is a specialty court that provides a little bit better oversight and a little bit more probationary supervision for folks that commit crimes of domestic violence. We have a number of folks that are in that program right now, many of whom are doing well. We've not had to dismiss or reduce any DUI cases. We've not done that over the course of the last year. And so it's been a busy, but I think productive year from the prosecution services side of things. Our prosecutors this year and, well, last year and the year before received COLA, cost of living increases. That was a good thing for us over the last couple of years. The 3 years prior to that, we didn't receive any. And so based mostly on that, we'll probably be asking for a slight increase. I don't have the numbers yet for the exact numbers for what the contract amount is going to be, but just to let you know and put you on notice, we'll probably be asking for an increase of maybe in the neighborhood of $3,000 or $4,000 on an annual basis for the cost of prosecution services. I think last year we asked for in the neighborhood of $44,000 annually, and I think this year it'll be around 48 or 49. But these are just estimates. I was looking at some of the numbers and trying to kind of estimate based on where we're at in the fiscal year at this point. So I wanted to give you a heads up about that. I also wanted to make sure that there are no concerns from your end. If you have questions, if you have concerns about anything that, criminal cases that we've been handling or any of those things, I want to let you know that I'm available to address any of those concerns. We've been sending reports monthly to your city attorney, Mr. Rhodes, and I hope that those have been helpful. We've been providing those, like I said, on a monthly basis. That give you a rundown of the cases that we've been filing and what and then the cases that we've been closing so you can see what's happening with those cases, whether there's reductions in those, which ones we obtain convictions in, and those sorts of that sort of information, the type of sentences we've been getting as well. And we're certainly open to suggestions that you have about how to do things differently and how we can do things better to better serve the citizens of CUNA with respect to prosecutorial services. And I just wanted to kind of make sure we were getting ahead of that this year, and then as we got closer to start working through issues with the budget, that any concerns were addressed, questions were answered, and I just wanted to make sure that I was available for that.
Okay, thank you. I really would like to thank you for those reports that you send to Richard. Keep me well informed. And the one thing I'd kind of like to ask you about them, seems like every month the same names appear.
Well,
either we've got some people who are really repeating and repeating and repeating it.
Yeah. Well, we send two different reports. We send a report that contains cases that we have opened for that month. And then we send a separate report that contains information on cases that we've closed during that month. And so the nature of crime is that often you do see the same names. We see that too, and we and my police colleagues do our very best to reduce recidivism. And one of the things that we do very well in that arena is the domestic violence court. That's one of those specialty courts that addresses more of the symptoms of the crime rather than just punishing people. We try to address that by having closer supervision, having a judge actually review those cases on a regular basis so that we can try and reduce the level of recidivism. But unfortunately, some of the same names come across sometimes.
Okay, questions of the council for Brian? Okay, thank you very much. Great report.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me out and bringing me up first. As always, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, call me anytime. I'd be happy to chat with any of you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next item of business is the fiscal year 2013 Transportation Investment Generating Economic Recovery Discretionary Grant Program called TIGER. We have Ryan. Ryan, I didn't get your last name, but we have Ryan to report on that to us, and we'll turn the floor over to you.
Mayor, Council, it's my privilege. Ryan Head, Transportation Funding Coordinator for ACHD. So I'm not an adequate substitute for Sabrina, but I'm here trying. I'll do my best. We really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to address you on this matter. We know it's of interest to you, in particular related to the CUNA Railroad and Indian Creek overpass that has been a topic of interest. And we just wanted you to know from the perspective of Ada County Highway District, we've been listening. Staff has been, and commission has directed staff to complete a feasibility and implementation plan for that particular project. Earlier this year, our staff met with the mayor and some of your staff to discuss the scope of work for what that plan would look like. We now have a consultant on board. It's the same consultant who did the downtown corridor plan, so he should look pretty familiar. And hopefully, similar to that plan, we will be working hand in hand with your staff and with you and with your citizens to identify a project that would truly meet the needs and evaluate both the feasibility, the pros and cons of what that could mean for the city, and then to identify a preferred alternative for moving forward on that. We expect, just to give you an update, the first public involvement to come out in late June or early July. And as we go through that process, as the council and mayor desire, our staff is more than willing to come and give additional presentations to you on where we are with that project as we go along. But a particular interest in where kind of the genesis of this conversation came from, we know that the mayor, it caught his attention. There is a federal grant opportunity out there at this point in time called Transportation Investments Generating Economic Recovery. As you can kind of hear in that long title, this program was born out of the economic stimulus program and has been reauthorized a few times since then. However, in the last reauthorization bill, it wasn't continued, but because of our federal Congress having some difficulties passing a new budget, the continuing resolution got this program through one more time. We don't know how it will continue in the future. However, we know that it's at least available this year. However, the program tends to have some pretty interesting requirements. It's really targeted towards high dollar investments, which this project would definitely be in. The city of CUNA would fall into the urban category, which would then be competing with some of the larger cities and state DOTs, departments of transportation throughout the country. So, and for that reason, the minimum grant size that they put on these funds is $10 million. On top of that $10 million, there's about a $2.5 million local match contribution, and that's the minimum. They've said in previous years the number of projects that have been selected have come in with four times the amount of dollars requested in local match. So for a $10 million project, that'd be about $40 million in local funds. That's not a definite, and that's not the thing that most concerns us in moving forward with an application for that program. The thing that really gets us is the deadlines that they've given. For this particular program, all funds have to be committed for construction by September 30th, 2014, so about a little over 15 months away. However, with that, They also expect you to have the design complete, all environmental studies complete, as well as any right-of-way purchased. Where we are with this project, unfortunately, it doesn't appear that we would be prepared to move forward with that. That process typically takes about 2.5 years to 5 years. It's just, it's a lot slower than even our local projects move, just because of how the federal program runs. So with that, we just wanted to address the interest in that program. We know it does look like a great opportunity. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're quite ripe for that at this point in time with this project. If it does continue in the future, it may be something that we can reconsider moving forward. So with that, I stand for any questions that you all might have.
Yeah, the for the council, you know, the letter from Bruce Wong, this was, we envisioned that we could possibly have some federal dollars for the overpass. But it looks like it'll be October before we get the site selected. And we really can't do much on an overpass until we have the site.
Correct.
And so I know you, ACHD has a consultant working on that, and it'll take them until October. So anyway, we appreciate you coming over and explaining this grant a little bit more to us. And the, you know, the timetable we knew would be tight, if not impossible.
Unfortunately, it's been that way for us for a number of different things.
Yeah. So. Anyway, we appreciate you being here. And does the council have any questions?
Mayor, I have one question. You might not even be the appropriate person to ask this question to, but you know the status of the Linder Deer Flat project?
I would actually be one of the appropriate people to ask that question to.
Engineering bids let or something this month?
The request for proposals went out. They are in the process now of selecting a consultant. And I believe that will be done within the next month or so. So we would expect at that point in time to begin the design process, and we will be seeking public input as that project moves forward.
So will there be, a public hearing then of some kind?
There'll definitely be a public information meeting, similar to what we do with all of our projects. We'll come out and we'll set up and visit with the public and take public input on that for sure.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lisa, did you have any questions?
No, I'm
okay,
all right.
Okay, the next item of business is 13-01 LS, a lot split request from the land group. The school is requesting to split the original lot into three separate and unique lots. The landowner is the Falcon Ridge Public Charter School, and it'll be presented by Troy from our planning and zoning staff.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. Just for the record, my name is Troy Behunen, senior planner here in planning and zoning. The application 13-0-LS lot split is an application tonight for exactly what the mayor has described. It's a single parcel on the southeast corner of Avalon and 10 Mile Roads. And the applicant is Falcon Ridge Charter School. It's a public charter school. They are requesting that this parcel be allowed to be split into three unique parcels. And there are several different reasons for that. But there's some criteria that a parcel must achieve in order to, or that it must be recognized that it achieves in order to accomplish a lot split, one of which is that it must be deemed an original parcel. An original parcel in CUNA means that this is how this parcel looked back in 1977, December 7th, 1977, to be exact. And if the parcel is deemed an original parcel, or if it's deemed to be a parent-child relationship, then there could be up to two splits. So you could turn one parcel into three. And that's what the applicant is seeking to do. Staff has determined through the information that was provided to us and through other records that this is an original parcel and that a lot, it does meet the criteria and it matches all of those things. Some of the other reasons the applicant is seeking for this lot split is because Right now, currently, there is the public school, which encompasses, it actually has five modular units that the school is meeting in, and they wish to build a new school, and they want to assemble a new school on site. They are moving forward, and next week we'll hold a special use permit hearing, which will be a public hearing on that matter. They are also going through a design review process for the new building, the landscaping, and also the parking lot. So what they really want to do is they want to put the new school on one of these newly created parcels that they're proposing. The other main reason that they are seeking to split this lot is because there's also a house, there is a residence on this parcel at the south end of the existing parcel. And for reasons of safety, meaning emergency services and other things, in addition to utility billing and just having a unique address and unique parcel number for that residence, they wish to split that off and have it be a unique parcel, which will take care of a lot of different things. Staff really doesn't have a whole lot. Hopefully you've had a lot to, you've had time to review the staff report. We have determined that it is an original parcel, and staff would just ask that the applicant take care of the few items that are listed in there and are the conditions of approval to make sure that they get the new deeds recorded and to staff and get this taken care of within a year. And I would stand for any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you very much. Would you tell me again the time interval on the school construction?
You know what? The applicant is here tonight, and I'm sure that they could give you a time frame on the on the construction of the building. But I do know that they are looking to move on this, and they're nearing the end of financing. And okay. So, but the applicant is here to answer those type of questions.
Okay. Are there any questions of Troy?
Yeah. Gordon had actually made quite a few recommendations, and I'm assuming this comes up when building permits come out and things like that. Do those questions get addressed when at time of permit, or are those things that need to be brought up during the conversations on a lot split?
All of the things that Gordon has in his memo, which is Exhibit 5 or 6, are actually required within the lot split land use action. And in the case where a lot just wants to split, maybe there's a home on, let's just say for ease of conversation, on 5 or 6 acres. They want to split the home off. They want to create two new parcels, but they don't want to do anything with it. Well, then staff would phrase a lot of the required improvements for such a land use action by couching it as at the time of development or the time of building permit or the time of, you know, things in the future. This application actually is one of three steps that they're going through, and this is just the first one. So we know what their plans are, and we know that they do want to move as quick as possible.
So things like pressurized irrigation and curb gutter and sidewalk and things like that.
Yeah, all of those things are required through the lot split land use action, which is in 5-16-3, which is a unique land use in the city code. It's also important to remember that this site will be, basically, it will become nearly a brand new site in terms of removing the five units and the shed that's on there now, and putting a brand new school in a totally new location. There will be a number of parking stalls that will be added to the parking lot, and there will be an entirely different landscaping scheme. So by definition, this is more redevelopment rather than existing development.
So then his recommendations on here aren't actually listed on any of the items that need to be done in the next year, is that, I mean,
well,
we take, I guess what I'm asking, are we taking those things that he's requesting into account, or?
It would be up to council. I actually had a conversation today with Mr. Matt Adams and also Mr. Jim Main, who are with Design West and the Land Group, who represent the Falcon Ridge Charter School. And I know that they have a couple of concerns, and I really appreciate them coming to me, coming to planning and zoning before, you know, the meeting to just discuss them. And I know that those are a couple of their concerns. And you know, what I explained to Mr. Main and Mr. Adams is that it's our duty as staff to research all of the things that are required in terms of development. And what we do is we find what the requirements are, and then they're assembled into memos, and they're assembled into staff reports and things like that. And then it's up to the deciding body, which is yourself, and also next week will be the Planning and Zoning Commission at the special use permit hearing. It's up to the decision makers how they want to handle city code. All we're doing is just reciting code, and that's what Mr. Law has done in his memorandum.
Is that answer?
So,
well,
it would be up to council, you know.
But like,
to which extent?
He's been addressing a few times about curb gutter, sidewalk, and mm-hmm. those kind of things that we need to kind of keep up with, and I just, it wasn't really addressed in this portion, but it was in what Gordon wrote. And so I just want to make sure that we're taking his comments and...
Yeah, his comments follow code, yeah.
Okay, so that would all be taken care of then?
That would be for you folks to decide, is what you would like to enforce.
Well, in answer to at least part of it, there's a complexity here in that property always drained into the Morrow Wasteway. And curbs, there's sidewalks there already. Curb gutter draining into the wasteway is not acceptable to the Board of Control. And so there's going to have to be some, at least time and what have you, is what do we do with that without having to drill into the road and...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, okay. So... It's what Troy is trying to say is all of these will be handled, and it will be to the council to decide how they'd like to. But there are some complexities because of the Board of Control's decision.
Yeah.
Further questions? Doug, did you have any questions? Brianna?
No.
Okay. Would your... charter people, who's
here? I believe that Matt Adams is here from
Matt
the Land
Adams.
Group, and he would like,
if you'd
to,
like to address
have a few
the
minutes.
Council,
yep.
Have a gate here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. First of all, we'd like to thank Wendy and Troy for being very helpful in the process. I'm Jim Main with Design West Architects. I live in CUNA. What I'm going to do is I just want to give you a real short history of the project so you're up to speed with that, and then Mr. Adams can address specifically Gordon Law's comments. We've been working with the charter school for just over a year now, and when we started, they were looking for funding. They went to several different funding sources, didn't have a whole lot of luck. What they ended up doing was going to the USDA. So right now they're approved for a USP loan through rural development. The problem with the loan through rural development is that there's a lot of federal strings attached to it. And they've also taken the original budget and they've cut it about three times now. So now we're down to a pretty bare bones budget on the project. The new facility will basically replace the existing modulars that are there. We have the same number of classrooms, we have the same administration, same number of student capacity, same number of faculty will be on the site. So, schedule-wise, the way we're looking at it right now, we're here tonight to do a lot split. We're coming before planning and zoning next week on the conditional use and design review. Our intent is, once we get approval on the conditional use and design reviews, to submit for permits. Now, the thing that may throw a wrench in the works there is when we need to submit to the Division of Building Safety, the state of Idaho, for their plan review. We need to submit to the city of CUNA. We also need to submit to USDA. And USDA needs to review then the plans then and give their approval before we can bid it. We've been on projects where that takes a month. We've been on projects where it takes 4 or 5 months. So the intent of the school district is to break ground as soon as possible and try to get the building closed in before weather, and then hopefully move into it over Christmas break. And at the time they move into it, you know, the kids will pick up the desks, walk to the new building, put the desks down, and then the modulars, which they have there now, they lease those. So it's in their best interest to get those removed as quickly as possible. So that's a, if you have any questions on what I've just discussed or the schedule, I'd be glad to answer those.
Okay, any questions?
No.
All right.
If not, I'll turn it over to Mr. Adams from the land group and he can speak to the other. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. I am Matt Adams, and I'll echo Jim's comments. Thank Troy and Wendy, as well as your other staff. They're very helpful. We had several meetings just getting to the application process. We are in agreement with the staff report that Troy has presented, and would ask that as he gives you the option that you would approve the lot split. We do have, as Councilman Steer began to discuss, we have some discussion we'd like to have regarding Exhibit 6, which is the memo from the city engineer, and was not clear that it was actually part of the lot split, but we do understand it would be part of the special use or building permit requirements. We would like to have further discussion. I'm going to be real specific about some of the items in that memo. I do not expect you to be able to answer those questions, but we would like to have further review with staff to fine-tune those requirements. So we would like to have further discussion with staff and refine item 3B, which is simply the size of the city pressure irrigation line. And then we would like to have some further time on item 3C, which is the code that describes or requires the routing of pressure irrigation on new development. And then also item 7 of the memo from the city engineer. We're concerned with the impact that some of these items will have on this project and the budget of this project. The right-of-way and 10 Mile and Avalon are owned by the Ada County Highways District. And requirements 7A and 7C are not consistent with the draft or the staff report we received that you will receive, or P&Z will receive, for the special use permit. And so we think there needs to be some time to further define, work with staff, and discuss 7A and 7C and how they pertain to this project, which, as Jim mentioned, is a replacement of the existing buildings out there. So as to the method or how you execute an approval with some further discussion required on these items, I can't speak to that. Not sure of how you would do that. But I guess, you know, Troy had mentioned that maybe it simply says that these items are addressed with special use or building permit, which would simply give us some time, but allows the city a mechanism to still enforce their code. That's all my comments, and I'll take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Question?
No. Okay.
Thank you. I guess probably next question would be to Wendy.
Yes.
And that's in making a motion for the lot split, what kind of language would we do to assure that there's continued
review of these requirements, or that they, the lost bid be approved with the caveat that what was outlined there be further worked on by the staff, or if you've got a different suggestion, I'd take that.
Yeah.
You could potentially approve it I guess pending agreement on the items listed by Mr. Adams. 3B, 3C, 7A, and C.
Okay. That who would be willing to put that into a motion?
It seems to me, Mayor, that the lot split is a separate item from all these other things. These come later during the permitting and planning and zoning, so to try to tie one to the other to me seems ridiculous.
Okay.
Right, it'd just be a lot split only.
Okay, if you're comfortable with just granting the lot split as requested, then that's fine with me. Is that fine with you, Wendy?
Not really.
To put building.
That, well, that's kind of what I was trying to clarify was this appropriate now? Because
well,
it seemed
trying,
like that would be appropriate later, but I don't.
Yeah. Real quick.
It'll be a big issue during the.
I believe we can address it during the. Well, just a minute.
Because if they came in and were just a desire to split and with no plans pending, we wouldn't discuss those plans that weren't pending yet.
I got it. 516.3 does state that the in the lot split needs to comply with sidewalks, sewer and water, dedication, public right-of-way, and it goes down a list. So it is part of the approval process for a lot split.
Well,
well, what, so then what were the items that he listed? 7A and C.
3B and 3C. Where are the other two?
Is it 3B and 3C, or is it just 3 and 7A, B and C?
I don't know if you record, so I'll come up back to the mic.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wish Wendy would come up to that one, because I can't hear her.
The mic's pointed to Gordon's seat. That, no, this is Matt Adams again. The again, I'll reiterate. We agree that his items do apply to a application to build a building, and we're not questioning that. We do think some of those items need some time for discussion, so could be appropriate to apply to a building permit application. But my specific items were 3B, 3C, 7, the main body of item 7, 7A and 7C.
7A and 7C?
Correct. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, then, if it's appropriate, I would move that we approve case number 13-01-LS, lot split request by Matthew T. Adams and Mark Green, with the conditions of approval as listed in our packets. And further discussion on the city engineer's reports, item 3B, 3C, the main body of 7, 7A, and 7C.
Okay, is there a second?
Well, then I would say that that motion dies from lack of a second.
Okay.
So what would the council like to do with this?
My contention with this is if we would pass what we just proposed, and what does that mean? If we can't come to an agreement between the parties on these items, that the lot split's null and void, is that what that means?
Mayor, it may be just prudent to go ahead and table this to the next council meeting. So these issues, because Gordon's not here, so.
Well, okay, so if I'm understanding things correctly, the approval of a lot split incorporates by reference complying with city code, and to the extent they would like to seek a waiver for any of the city code requirements, including sidewalk, curb, and gutter, that's a different process for a different day, right?
To seek a waiver for it?
Yeah.
There is not a waiver for that.
I mean, so to the extent that we have not required sidewalk, curb, and gutter in the past, that wasn't, I mean, there's a different process. There's a different time when we would be talking about what requirements specifically are for this property.
That would be the case if it was a subdivision plat, but it's not a subdivision plat. And we have required sidewalk in the past. Curb and gutter are the two that we haven't required.
So I guess my overarching question is, this is the one and only time they will ever be before council on these, on the issues in Gordon's memo? Is that accurate or inaccurate?
In front of council, it's accurate.
Well, let me ask the applicants, if we table this till the next council meeting, would that throw a wrench into your, granted that adds another 2 weeks to your time frame, but seems like there's so much confusion on this one that we'd like to do it right rather than have to come back and rescind what we've done and readdress it.
Right. If this were tabled till the next council meeting, it wouldn't have a great impact on the project. But if I could just share one thing, we, in addition to the what we received from the city of Kuna, we also received a staff report from Ada County Highway District. Ada County Highway District has said that there are no improvements required in their right of way, with the exception of dedication of some additional frontage for a single lane roundabout. So they're saying no improvements, but give us frontage for a roundabout. The city of Kuna is saying put in curb and gutter. And do we put in curb and gutter for a roundabout, which hasn't been designed yet? Do we put in curb and gutter on frontage that then is taken out to put in a roundabout? So we're a little quandary as to which staff report we need to go by. And the project, in my mind, even though it's a new building, it's on an existing site, the right-of-way was developed as part of the first project when it was done several years ago. And all of our improvements are within the bounds of the right-of-way. So we're not looking at doing new entries, we're not looking at doing sidewalks, curbs, gutters, or any roadway improvements. And currently the school budget will bear the on-site work. If it comes off-site, the only recourse for the school is to lose portions of the building to do that. So that's kind of the quandary that we're in right now.
Well, I think those can be addressed by our staff with the highway district and straighten that out. And Greg has left. We could probably ask him right now. But do you have a copy of that letter?
I don't. My packet.
It wasn't included with this packet because it's actually, it was intended for the special use permit.
Well, you know, from what I'm hearing, I think the council would be wise to table this till the next one. We'll straighten all of these things out and so that you're not left trying to comply with opposing letters. So
we'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We entertain a motion to table
Mr. Mayor, I would move we table case number 13-01-LS for further review.
Second.
Move to second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. Next item of business is approval for Chris Engel, Deputy City Clerk, to attend the Grant Administration Workshop May 30th and 31st in Meridian. The need for this is, it's rare that one of these Grant Administration classes, approved type, come to this close to CUNA. And secondly, we've moved Chris into a lot more research and on grants. We've applied for a number of grants, some we're going to get. And the administration of the grants has changed, and it requires a lot more oversight. And I think if we're going to have grants, we better run them right, or we're going to be in deep trouble. So we thought we would bring this to the council and let you decide whether.
I have a question, Mayor. Okay. Is the total cost just going to be $595 for the tuition? Is that it?
I think, is that right? Okay.
I think that's money well spent to have someone on the staff who knows how to write grants. I think it's a very reasonable price to pay for this.
Well, and being so close, we're going to have to get motels and all of that stuff. So, any other questions? All right, then we entertain a motion to approve that Chris Engel is attending the Grant Administration Workshop.
I would move we authorize Chris Engel to participate in the Grant Workshop.
Okay. And move in second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. Okay, the next item of business is the results of the financial operations October 1st to March 31st. Treasurer John.
All right. Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, John Marsh. And one related item to the last item on the grant administration class, there was also a tuition reimbursement agreement that Chris will sign, is agreed to sign that if she should leave within a three-year period of time that there's some reimbursement there, so the city wouldn't be out. Okay, so again, financial results of operations. Again, anybody in the audience, this is the most extreme boring portion of the agenda tonight. So if anybody wants to leave, you won't hurt my feelings. Lisa?
This is the most exciting one.
No, you won't hurt my feelings. So anyway, this is October through March. So this is halfway through the fiscal year. So we're obviously 6 months in. I'll keep it high level and brief as usual. If you have any questions, please feel free to stop me. So basically, I'm going to start off on the handout that you have. It's called Finance Worksheet Actual with Annual Budget Summarized. So page one, the general fund. Revenue to date has exceeded expenditures by $136,407. That's very good. The latecomers fund revenues have exceeded expenditures by $113,955, which is normal for this time of year. Well mitigation fund revenue ahead of expenditure $59,933, which is normal. The water fund revenue, or actually expenditures, exceeded revenue by $100,166, which is right on par. If you remember, we had paid off the water bond in October as early as we could, and so basically the water fund is slowly just catching up each month. And the next fund, which actually slots over into page two, is the sewer fund. And revenue is ahead of expenditures by $348,673. Very good. The wastewater treatment plant fund, and again, that one will have to be reappropriated as we get down the line here, but expenditures exceeded revenue thus far by $4,819.67. The irrigation fund revenue is ahead of expenditures by $89,202, also very good. The solid waste fund, being the last fund, is revenue is ahead of expenditures by $2,992. And all in all, the citywide stands, revenues are ahead of expenditures by $646,178, which is very good. When you take out the non-operating funds and you just include operating funds, so your general fund, your water fund, sewer and irrigation, and you strip out all the other funds, with just those funds, the revenues are ahead of expenditures by $474,116. So that's very good. So all in all, city's financial position thus far is looking very good. And then one last item is the cash position, and that's the last item on your handout. And I won't go into all the detail on that unless you want me to, by fund, but each fund has a healthy cash balance at this point in time. And the net balance in cash citywide is $5,771,717. So lots of sevens, and if you like gambling, you might take that number to the bank.
How about the jackpot?
There you go. Play some slot machines or something of that nature. And all in all, that's it. And the reason this is only through March is because of timing. This would be through April, but we couldn't close the month out by last Thursday accurately due to the timeline. So next meeting we'll have April in. Any questions?
Questions?
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sounds good. Yeah. Okay. Ordinances. First reading, ordinance number 2013-08, irrigation annexation, Doug and Tamara Croft. So, an ordinance of the City of Kewna, Idaho, annexing all of the Doug and Tamara Croft property located at 927 North Linder Road into the Kewna Municipal Irrigation District from the Boise Kewna Irrigation District and changing the boundaries thereof, declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law, and providing an effective date. I don't think that there's anything that would need three readings on this, so we would consider consideration to dispense the full reading and three consecutive readings.
First, I will move to approve ordinance number 2013-08, irrigation annexation for the Croft property.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. I think you have to first move not to, don't you?
To dispense with the readings.
Three different occasions.
Really, we don't pass it first and then decide if we're going to read it?
I think she's got it outlined there.
I thought it was in the wrong order. Yeah. I move we dispense with full reading. And apparently three consecutive readings.
Is there a second?
Second.
And move a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And I'll read it by title again. An ordinance of the City of Kewna, Idaho, annexing all of the Doug and Tamara Croft property located at 927 North Linder Road into the Kewna Municipal Irrigation District from the Boise Kewna Irrigation District, changing boundaries thereof, declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law and providing an effective date. Is there a motion to approve ordinance number 2013-08?
Move we approve ordinance number 2013-08, irrigation annexation of the crop property.
Second.
We move and seconded. Would you pull the council?
Councilmember Hoyland?
Yes.
Councilmember Buben van der Haar?
Yes.
Councilmember Steer?
Yes.
Ordinance number 2013-08 has been approved by publication, becomes law, and we would need to know if we want to...
Move we approve summary publication.
Second.
Move in second, we approve summary publication. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. Summary will be sent to the newspaper. Since I called Mark Walt, we'll send it to Mark. Okay, next item is the first reading of ordinance number 2013-09, annexation of Profile Ridge Subdivision 2. An ordinance of the City of Kuna, Idaho, annexing Profile Ridge Subdivision Number 2 into the Kuna Municipal Irrigation District from the Boise-Kuna Irrigation District, changing the boundaries thereof, declaring the water rights pertinent thereto or a pool for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law and providing an effective date.
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we dispense with the full reading and three consecutive readings on ordinance number 2013-09, irrigation annexation for Profile Ridge.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved in second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve ordinance number 2013-09.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Would you poll the council?
Councilmember Hoyland?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin van der Haar?
Yes.
Councilmember Steer?
Yes.
Ordinance number 2013-09 has been passed upon publication, becomes law. Consideration for summary?
I would move we approve a summary publication of the ordinance.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. We'll send a summary copy to the editor. Okay. That's all I have in here. I think that probably we need to announce for the few that are left here that the 1 acre foot that is allotted to the city will run out about the first part of August. So the citizens will be hearing from the council prior to that date on what we're going to do to try to drag our water as far as we can. And we have our new police chief here. And if you'd like to say anything to the council, be my guest.
Sure. Caught me off guard, but that's okay. thank you, Mayor and the council. I'm really glad to be here. I've met a lot of you in the past. I've worked out here in Kuna for a long time, off and on throughout the last 15 years, as a patrol deputy, as a patrol sergeant, as a school resource officer, and now the interim chief of police. And I look forward to going on with the process to be the formal chief of police because of my interest out here and my familiarity with the city. So that being said, I'm very glad to be here. I have a lot of relationships already established out here, but I look to continue and grow and be able to serve the community the best I can. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, according to my agenda, that ends.
I'd just like to have a reminder and a thank you to J&M Sanitation for Saturday's cleanup CUNA effort. I don't think they're here today, but I found out when I called Cody, or Chad, what's his name? Chad.
Yeah.
I called, four-letter word starts with a C. Anyway, I called Chad, and they will do curbside pickup as well on your normal pickup this week. You've already missed Monday and Tuesday, but if you want to put out some big item, they'll pick that up for free where they would have charged otherwise. Or you can take it down on Saturday yourself. But it's a good
thing. And go to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a good thing for the city to another cleanup.
Well, I've talked a little bit to him, and I've talked a little bit to the forestry people out on Robinson. And we're going to try to work in a chipping service so that during cleanup day, you can bring your limbs and what have you and put them by your trash and the chipping service will come by and chip them. And then we'll try to compost that, and there'll be lots of uses for that compost. So we've agreed on the concept. We haven't agreed on the price, so we'll be keeping you informed on that one. So that's all the business we have. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Move second or adjourn?